song still ain't settled in on our church. Maybe we need to let them sing it more often. But He is above all else. And far above and beyond any other God, any other person, any other thing, the Lord is supreme tonight. And He said it of Himself through Isaiah. He said, I am the Lord, and there is none beside me. He said, whom will you liken me unto? And the answer is simply nobody. Ain't no God like the Lord God of heaven. I'm in Psalm 16 tonight. And it has been just one of them kind of weeks and one of them kind of days. I went to print my sermon outline out a little while ago. My printer was out of ink. It wouldn't print. And so I'm having to do something I don't like to do and that I've never done. I'm preaching off my outline on my iPad. And so if you see a glow, that's not the Shekinah glory of God. That is the Shekinah glory of Apple. All right? I don't like doing that, but that's just how I'm going to have to do it this evening. I don't always memorize all my outlines. I try to, but stand with me, all right? Pray for us. It's just been, it seemed like, fighting hell this week, 10 acres at a time, every day. Any of y'all ever have weeks like that? Sure you do. And it's been one of them kind of weeks for you, Pastor. And I wish you'd pray for us. Pray for us tonight. I wanna get in that realm, and I'm trying to live there this week, where I can just praise God through the problems and bless the Lord through the battles and rejoice in the Lord in unrestful times. I believe that's when you really prove that you're a Christian. Anybody can shout, and anybody can praise God when everything's going good. And anybody can find joy in times when it's just easy to be joyful. But I want to get the place where no matter what the devil in the world and the enemy brings my way, at Brother Will, I can still throw my hands up and rejoice in the Lord with all my might. And there's going to be days we're going to weep, but I want to worship while I weep. There's going to be days when I hurt, but I want to be able to bless the Lord with all my soul, even when I'm hurting. I'm working on a message in our worship series right now on worshiping when it hurts. That's what Job did. Ain't that what Job did? Amen. You don't go to the graveyard and lose your children and lose everything you have and not have some hurt. God didn't promise we wasn't going to hurt. And He didn't promise that we wasn't going to go through battles and that the devil wouldn't give us a hard time. But thank God, I'm glad His grace should be sufficient. And somewhere in the midst of it all, we need to mark us out a place and say, God, I hurt. And God, I don't feel like doing this, but I want to worship You with all my heart and all my soul. And I pray the Lord to teach us something about that tonight. Psalm 16, we tried to deal with this last week. Let's begin reading in verse number 1. Preserve me, O God, for in Thee do I put my trust. O my soul, Thou hast said unto the Lord, Thou art my Lord, my goodness extendeth not to Thee, but to the saints that are in the earth, and to the excellent in whom is all my delight. Their sorrow shall be multiplied that hasten after another God. Their drink offerings of blood will I not offer, nor take up their names unto my lips. The Lord is the portion of mine inheritance and of my cup. Thou maintainest my lot. The lions are fallen unto me in pleasant places. Yea, I have a goodly heritage. I will bless the Lord, who had given me counsel. My reins also instruct me in the night seasons. I have set the Lord always before me. Because He is at my right hand, I shall not be moved. Therefore my heart is glad, and my glory rejoiceth. My flesh also shall rest in hope. For Thou wilt not leave my soul in hell, neither wilt Thou suffer Thine Holy One to see corruption. Thou wilt show me the path of life. In Thy presence is fullness of joy. At Thy right hand there are pleasures forevermore. Father, I want to come to You again tonight. God, You know the weakness of my body and of my mind. and of my own flesh even tonight. Lord, I understand that I pray to a God that knows everything about me and what I need in this very moment. God, I come to you as one of your children tonight, asking that you'd speak to our hearts this evening. I come to you, Lord, as a preacher that you called to give the gospel and deliver the word of God, and ask you for the power and the unction and the touch that, Lord, it takes to preach. And God, I pray that you'd preach us tonight. God, I pray tonight, Lord, that in all things that God would get glory, and that, Lord, your will would be accomplished, and, Lord, your word would be magnified. Lord, even above, Lord, those that are gathered here tonight, may the word of God have an effectual working tonight in the house of God. And, Lord, all that you do, we'll bless you for it. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. I'll let you be seated and just pray for us and listen tonight as we give the word of God. Psalm 16 is penned by that of the man after God's own heart, David. You see that if you got a good study Bible. The heading of this psalm is Mictum of David. The word Mictum, if you'll study it, there's some varying definitions that men have given. The most common definition given is that of being defined as gold. And when men don't really know what it means or what the reference to golden means, but I believe it's likely that of giving the worth of this psalm to that of the life of David. Mictum of David, golden of David. We believe tonight that the truths contained in this psalm were worth their weight in gold to David. And my friend, they meant more to David than that of even gold of this world and gold in this life, if you will. And we'll hasten on and try and pick up where we left off last Wednesday. You'll notice in verse 11, David said, "Thou wilt show me the path of life." It's evident, according to this verse, that this verse gives insight in the context, I believe, of this psalm as a whole. David declares his confidence in the Lord to show him the path of life. David said, "I'm living life and I'm going to trust that the Lord is going to show me. He's going to reveal. He's going to order the steps of the path of life that I take." David quoted that or said that in another psalm. But Gerald, he said, "At the steps of a good man are ordered of the Lord." And we believe that tonight. And my friend, those who trust in the Lord, amen, don't leave them to flipping coins and rolling dice in life, but that the Lord has a plan on the path of life, and He reveals to you and that, my friend, as we live for the Lord. A lot we could say there. David's confidence is in the Lord, and this verse is showing the path of life, and that's what we're on tonight. The Word of God references life as being that of a path or a journey that we're on. In fact, the word path reveals to you and that and indicates that of a well-trodden way that my friend David is on. And so, amen, Jesus said in Matthew chapter number 7, there is a broad way or broad path, a broad way that there's a lot of people living on, and that way ends in destruction. And he said there's a straight gate and a narrow way, amen, a very narrow path, a narrow way that men can travel down and live in life for the Lord. God said the nation of Israel, Jeremiah 6, that they were to stand and say, and ask for the old paths, wherein is the good way? And God said, "I want you to walk in that way and you find rest for your soul." And that crowd said, "We will not walk therein." Amen. The conclusion I want to bring to you tonight is in life is like journeying down a path. Amen. When we consider this path tonight and living for the Lord, amen, we understand that there's many problems on this path. Job said, "Man that is part of a woman's a few days in full and trouble." On the path of life that you and I take tonight is going to be marked by problems. Every day ain't going to be easy. Thank God they ain't all hard, but they ain't all easy either. And the fact that you're living life tonight means that you're going to have to face days things that are filled with problem. Amen. Even the life of the Lord. What did Isaiah say? He was a man that was acquainted with grief. A man that my friend knew something about sorrow. In fact, that's one of the titles given to him. A man of sorrows. Can I say tonight that the Lord wasn't excluded from it, and you ain't going to be excluded from it. There's going to be hardship and problems that come to you and I in life as we live for the Lord. Somebody said, I thought when I got saved, everything was going to be easy. Amen. And if you'd be honest about it tonight, some of the hardest days you've ever had, amen, my friend, you've had since you've been saved. Some of the most difficult you ever think about, man, before you got saved, all the bills were paid, had money in the bank, and my friend, everything was just running fine, health was good. Amen. But since you've been saved, you know something, my friend, about problems. That's just life. Live for the Lord. I is going to be faced and live with many problems. Amen. Living life for the Lord not only has many problems, but I told you last week, and thank God it has many possibilities. Ain't no telling where you're going to wind up before your journey with the Lord ends. I'd have never dreamed when I first got saved and I'd be a preacher. I'd have never dreamed that when God called me to preach, and at the age of 35, I'd done been pastor two churches now. I'd have never dreamed that I'd have stood and preached in places I've preached and known things that I've known and experienced things that God has let me experience it, and blessings God's let me taste from Tony. That is the many possibilities and come living life for the Lord. Can I say to that? And my friend, the possibilities oftentimes is what brings the problems that we face living for the Lord. Amen. You know Andy Wells well. Amen. He was trying to encourage me one day, and he did nothing but depress me further. Amen. He said, listen. He said, if everything is good, if everything is bad, he said, hang on, it'll change. He said, if everything is good, he said, just wait around a little while, it'll change. And I say tonight, that is life, that is live. Amen. One possibility to the next, one opportunity to the next. My friend, comes with great possibilities, but with great problems many a day. David said that the Lord, verse 11, was going to show him the path of life. And David said, in the presence of the Lord, there's going to be fullness of joy. I'll deal with that in a moment. Notice with me, he said, at thy right hand, there are pleasures forevermore. In other words, David is saying, I'm on the path of life. The fact that he's on the path of life, there's going to be many problems. There's going to be many possibilities. David, what kept David from going crazy, and what kept David from losing his joy, and what kept David from having the poochy lip disease, is that he kept his eye on the pleasures that were on the path of life. And so we're preaching tonight out of this psalm as we're going through the psalms one by one and dealing with the fallen man, this psalm, the fallen man through this psalm on the pleasures of the Lord on the path of life. Amen. I know life and the path of life has many problems. And thank God there's a lot of possibilities, but even considering that, we understand that and the problems we face, that we probably wouldn't have tonight were it not of the Lord moving and using our lives the way that He does. Thank God, in spite of all the possibilities and the problems, that, amen, I'm here to report to Calvary Baptist Tabernacle tonight, and there are pleasures, there's pleasures in the Lord that are to be enjoyed on the path of life. Through every day of discouragement, every day of depression, every day of battle, every day of a man seemingly losing ground, every day when you're tormented, I'm glad that my friend, through every pain and every problem on the path of life, there are pleasures that are to be had in the Lord. The word pleasures, I told you last week, simply means delightful. It means sweet. David has said that there's sweet experiences. There are delightful times. Yeah, there's days that we weep and we frown and we're broken because
of what we're going through, but thank God there's times, Brother Gerald, where we smile through the pain and we're able, man, friend, to amen, just take joy in the delightful experiences that the Lord brings our way. The word pleasures can be defined enjoyable. Amen. I'm glad and I don't always endure. Now, I'll be honest, it's been one of them weeks I've been enduring death and waiting on a breakthrough, waiting on God, my friend, to do something. But I'm glad that all weeks ain't lived like that. I'm glad He lets me enjoy, amen, the times of life. I used the illustration last week, and oftentimes we reference bad times, painful times, enduring times is that of valleys. And then we get our eyes on the valley and how bad it, how low then things really are. But Tony, but Joe, ain't you glad to have a valley? Amen, you got to have two mountaintops. Amen, that tells me, my friend, living for the Lord is twice as good as it is bad. Can I get a witness right there? Amen, there's twice as many pleasures if you open your eyes and get it on the Lord. There's twice as many pleasures as there are problems. And there's twice as many pleasures as there is pain. And my friend, I'm glad on the path of life that the Lord has reserved some days of enjoyment for you and me. And what are the pleasures that are at the right hand as we walk with the Lord, as we live this path of life that the Lord leads us down? What are the pleasures of the Lord on the path of life? I give you one or two of them last week. Amen. We found in verse number one, there is the pleasure of the Lord's preservation. David said about the Lord and about God, for in thee do I put my trust. The word trust means, my friend, to flee for protection or to confide in. It's a good word to describe what a sinner does when he gets saved. He quits trusting in himself. He quits trusting daddy. She quits trusting mama. And she flees to the Lord and the Lord alone, my friend, for safety and for protection. I'm glad the day I got saved, amen, I quit trusting in Jeff and started trusting in Jesus. And my friend, what a day that was. And David declares the fact that he has put his confidence in the Lord, and he's put his faith in the Lord, and his trust is in God and not himself. And so what is the pleasure in that? The pleasure is that he's trusting that the Lord, my friend, not only has saved it, but that the Lord God of glory is going to preserve him. And I say, thank God, that is a pleasure on the path of life. If you're saved tonight, that you have, that no drunkard in town could ever have, that no dopehead in town could ever have, that the biggest sinner in Newport and ever have tonight, that you're saved and you're saved forever. Amen. I'm glad tonight I've been preserved. Amen. We've been given the Holy Spirit a promise. Amen. He's the earnest payment until the day of our redemption. Amen. Amen. I'm redeemed tonight. Amen. There's a day I look back. Amen. I was redeemed from the penalty of sin. We're being redeemed and saved every day. Amen. From the power of sin. Thank God the day of redemption comes when all those in the Lord sealed by the Holy Ghost amen are saved and redeemed from the very presence of sin. And my friend, that is a pleasure you and I have on the path of life. Ain't you glad you say? Ain't you glad tonight that you know you say? Ain't you glad tonight you say forever? Amen. Would that not? Amen. Be something we can find pleasure in all the problems and pain and possibility on the path of life. David said that there's pleasure at the right hand of God. on this path of life, the pleasure of the Lord's preservation. Man, no devil, he don't want you enjoying your salvation. He wants you focused on the battle. He wants you focused on the pain. My friend, thank God for the child of God. This is as bad as it's going to get. As bad as it can get tonight. It'll be as bad as it can get. Amen. For we are preserved under the coming of our Lord, when we'll be set free from every problem and every pain. The pleasure of the Lord's preservation, the pleasure of the Lord's position in our life on this path of life. Notice what he said. He said, verse 2, O my soul, thou hast said unto the Lord, thou art my Lord. Amen. We noted last week that David said in his soul, he's cried out to the capital L, capital O, capital R, capital D. And is Jehovah, Lord, Lord Jehovah. And is the Hebrew name in that spelling, and in all caps, deals with Jehovah, the self-existing one. Amen. The one who needs nobody to exist. Amen. He didn't ask permission. Nobody created it. He is the self-existing, eternal, everlasting God. That's what Isaiah said his name would be, Everlasting Father. And is, my friend, no beginning and surely no end. He is Jehovah Lord. And David said that his soul, and his soul has cried out to the self-existent one. And what did his soul say? Thou art my capital L, lowercase, so art thou. That's a Hebrew name for Lord Adonai. And it means to rule, the ruling one, the sovereign one, the controller. Amen. Amen. David said, I got the place on the path of light where I took the reins out of my hand and I put them in his hand and I let him be the Lord over my life. Can I say thank God on September the 14th, 1996? Amen. Listen, I didn't make him Lord, but I called to the Jehovah Lord and said, you're Adonai, Lord. You're the boss. You're the master. You're the new owner. Amen. And thank God for his position over our lives as God's children. He's the controlling one. He's the one that, my friend, is orchestrating things in our life. Amen. There's a crowd running around and they play down the position of the Lordship of Christ in the life of the believer. And can I say, I'm glad he's Lord and I ain't. I'm glad he's in control and I ain't. I'm glad when I'm out of control, he's in control. And there's pleasure in knowing that. There's an enjoyable spirit that comes over my life, no matter where I am, but Gerald, when I consider his position in the path of life. Notice that David said he's so much Lord that there's nothing I can give him that would be impressive to him. That's what he said when he said, oh my soul, thou said unto the Lord, thou art my Lord. Notice what he said, my goodness extendeth not to thee. What he's saying is there's nothing I can give him. He's so much Lord. He's so higher in position above all. And I can never impress him with anything that I could do, anything I could bring. He's not interested in my goodness and what I have to offer. David is saying there's a time in my life when in my soul I let him be the Lord that he is. I gave him control. I let him be the master, the owner, the sovereign one, and he's watching over the affairs on my path of life. The pleasure of the Lord's preservation, the pleasure of the Lord's position. Notice with me, the pleasure of the Lord's people. David said in verse 3, to the saints that are in the earth and to the excellent in whom is all my delight. David said, I'm not giving my goodness to the Lord. Amen. He'd never be impressed with it. I'm just letting him be the Lord over me. That's his position. And he said, I've got a relationship in the Lord being my Lord. I've got a relationship with the people of God. And that's your third point, the pleasure of the Lord's people. Amen. Notice in David in this verse turns to the people of God. And he says, are in the earth. Did you catch that? But to the saints that are in the earth. David ain't like we independent Baptists are in 2014. We get the mentality, I'm the only one serving God. I'm the only one loves God with all my heart, all my mind, and all my soul. We get a Elijah syndrome. Lord, I'm the only one that ain't bowed. I'm the only one standing. I'm the only one suffering. I'm the only one going through things. And David said, and he doesn't have an isolated mentality. Amen. Listen, we are called to be separated, not isolated. Amen. When do people get their eyes on their problems and on their pain? When they get their eyes off the joy and the pleasure of the people of God. Amen. You say, but I've been hurt by church people. Get in line. Yeah. Amen. Take a number and get in the very back of the line. It'll be a while before you're called up front. Amen. We're going to get hurt. And can I say, amen, some of the best people I've ever known, amen, some of the most enjoyable experiences and times in my life have been enjoyed with the people of God. Amen. Amen. You go to Walmart, and my friend, that old man or woman at the door that's supposed to greet you and welcome you and tell you, thank you for being here. They're getting downright rude in recent days. But you know what you'll do? You go on back up in there because, hey man, Walmart's got something you need. And my friend, listen, you're going to be hurt and led. Hey man, even the people of God are going to bring pain and hurt and trouble in their life. Can I say thank God for the time that the Lord lets us enjoy and find delight in the people of God? That's what David said. He said to the saints that are in the earth and to the excellent in whom is all my delight. Oh, this how David talks about the people of God. He don't call them a bunch of bums. He says they are saints and that they are the excellent. I ain't got time to define all this to you tonight. And if you'll study them words tonight when you go home, Brother Will, what you're going to find is that David is giving terms of respect. He respects the people of God. They're his comrades. They're his friends. The way they live their lives, just the fact that they know the same Lord he knows, means that my friend, he has a genuine respect of the lives that they Leah. And David said so much so that they have become his delight. As you consider this tonight, the word delight, it means to incline to or desire. It means to be a valuable thing. It reveals that David found pleasure in being around the people of God. And you are lying if you don't admit you struggle with this. I do, and most people I've ever talked to about it are honest and say they do. You ever go through pain and trouble? Now, I've got some preacher friends, when they're going through trouble, they want to get on the phone and they want to tell everybody. I'm the exact opposite. Amen. Now, I'll be transparent with you, but man, if I'm going through something, leave me alone. I want to get isolated. I want to have that Elijah syndrome. And Brother Tyler, go get in a hole somewhere, crawl up under a juniper tree and say, oh God, you don't care. Just let me die. Come on. Are y'all alive? Are y'all awake? Amen. I'm telling you, these times we feel that way. Can I say, David, Lord, and in the times of late, amen, when you're down, there's still a pleasure in getting around the people of God. I can't tell you how many times I didn't think I'd be able to take another step. And it was the people of God that had an encouraging word. Or I seen somebody still worshiping God. Amen. And found delight. It was inclined to be around God's people. There's pleasure in the people of God. Amen. I don't dread going to church. I love coming to church. There's been days, man, and I'll give y'all my testimony at some point real soon down the road in detail. There's a time several years ago, I mean the devil and hell and all the forces of hell came against me and brought anxiety and depression, and I didn't want to be around nobody. Amen. But Brother Jerry, I learned through that. There'd be times my wife even had to help me get dressed and help me get in the car, and I'd weep just thinking about having to be around people. And Sister Kathy, I found during that time, a time when I didn't want to be around nobody was when I needed to be around somebody the most. It was the people of God that helped me get through that time in my life. Amen. So people say, well, I'm just hurt too bad. I'm going to leave the church and let things get better and come back. Amen. You're going to make things worse, not better. Everybody all right? I know I ain't hitting on much tonight, but I feel like I'm shooting in the right hole. Amen. There's pleasure in the people of God. I've been preaching on it a lot here lately. Thank God for the church. Thank God for a place that we can come to. Amen. In life, along the path of life, and all the problems and pains of life, and find pleasure being among God's people. Notice the contrast that David makes from verse 3 to verse 4. Verse 3 deals with the people of God and the pleasure, the delight. And he finds in them in verse 4, David said that the crowd, he said, their sorrow shall be multiplied. That here's the crowd, now they'd hasten after another God. Their drink offerings and blood will I not offer, nor take up their names into my lips. You know what I think David is saying? David is saying, I'm going to find joy and pleasure in the people of God, and I'm going to distance myself toward those that follow other gods. David in this verse simply says that he found no pleasure in what they had to offer and would not even take their name. He wouldn't brag on them. He wouldn't promote them. He wouldn't elevate them. That's what he said when he said, I'm not going to take their names up into my lips. I'm not going to brag on them. Yeah. Can I say tonight, I ain't a magnifying Hollywood. They're not my heroes. I don't get pleasure out of them. Ain't anything they have to offer. I've sat back and watched enough news broadcasts and followed their lives enough to know that Lucas, all of them are in and out of rehab. They're in and off and on drugs and off drugs and DUI and in jail and out of jail. Amen. They've got nothing to offer me that would give me any pleasure. We'd be amazed how many people sitting in church get more pleasure out of the people of this world than they do the people of God. And wonder why on the path of their Christian life, amen, if they're really even born again, why they're so miserable. Can I say, you're going to have to learn that pleasure comes from being around the people of God. The pleasure, the Lord's people, the Lord's position, the Lord's preservation. I've got to hurry. The pleasure, the Lord's portion, verse 5 and 6. Notice what David said, the Lord is the portion of mine inheritance and of my cup. Thou maintainest my lot. The lands are fallen unto me in pleasant places. Yea, I have a goodly heritage. What is David saying? David is saying plainly that the Lord is his portion. And my friend, he's not bragging on, amen, the gifts that God has given him. He's bragging on the Lord. Amen. Most of us, we find pleasure on the path of life as long as God's spoiling us rotten, treating us like a spoiled, rotten brats that we are. Long as everything's going good. Woo! Hallelujah! David said he got to the place on the path of life at Mathrian, and listen, I'll tie it all in together, but David learned at the root of pleasure on the path of life. Brother Dean is simply finding pleasure in the Lord Himself being your portion. The word portion means an allotment. It means, my friend, an allotment, something given by God, something that David has received from God. And it's not so much the gift that David found to be his portion as it was the giver. The Lord is my portion. You say, let me illustrate it this way, maybe to make sense. Man, I feel like I'm striking out tonight. Job, in Job chapter 1, The devil comes with the sons of God, and the Lord says, "Is thou not considered my servant Job?" And Satan said, "I've considered him, but every time I try to touch him," he said, "there's a hedge that you've set up that I can't get to him." He said, "I'm going to tell you something, Lord. The only reason Job serves you is that you're good to him. If you would remove the hedge and let me touch all that he has, he'll curse you." Is that paraphrased? Ain't that what took place? The devil thought Job served the Lord because the Lord was giving him gifts. But when it all was said and done, the end of chapter number 1 said, Job, a man, sat down, rent his garment, and what did he say? He said, "The Lord give, and the Lord had taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord." He didn't serve the Lord. He didn't worship the Lord because the Lord had necessarily given him an allotment and blessed him, but that the Lord had given him his name. Job had the giver and the gift, and when the gift was gone, he still had the giver. That's what David is saying. The Lord is my portion. He's the portion of my inheritance and my cup. I'll maintain as my lot. He said, "I've got the lands, the boundaries have fallen in pleasant places, and I have a goodly heritage in what? In the Lord." You can take my house tonight. You can take my truck tonight, my friend, and God forbid you could take my family tonight. And at the end of the day, amen, listen, on the path of life, amen, the Lord is my portion. The Lord is all I need. Amen. Old Brother Andy and his family sings that song, "When the Lord is all you have, he's all you need." And I say that's what David has learned on the path of life. It'd be a pleasure, my friend, is that when the Lord is all you have, the Lord is really all you need. There's pleasure in that. Notice the connection of this, of the Lord being his portion, the pleasure in the Lord's portion. Notice with me, and I believe tonight it's rooted in three things in David's life, and here's where it all ties in together with some of this. Amen. The Lord is the portion of my blessing, verse 5. He said, "The Lord is the portion of what? Mine inheritance and of my cup." The word inheritance and the word cup deal with blessings. Yet at the Lord is filling up David's cup with blessings from the Lord. Everything David has in his cup, everything David has is inheritance. David understands that were it not for the Lord, he'd not have anything. What did David say? Psalm 23 in verse number 5. He said, "But Charlotte," he said, "my cup runneth over." And I say tonight, the cup speaks of late. It speaks, my friend, of the Lord filling it up. You study the cup throughout Scripture. Sure, a cup can be filled with a lot of things. It can be filled with the wrath and the fury of God. It can be filled with the hardship of life. Amen. But David said it's also filled with God himself. And God pouring your life full and blessed. Amen. Thank God I ain't no big Michael Combs fan. Amen. I think he's a sellout. And he came out with that song several years ago entitled "Drinking from My Saucer." And I'll never forget the first time I couldn't get over the fact that it was Michael Combs singing it. I don't like the way that he sings. Amen. I don't like the way that he lives. But, amen, the more I got to listen to that song and other people are singing it, I thought, hallelujah, that's just like the Lord. Amen. He fills their cup and it runs over and it can't be contained. The Lord is the portion of every blessing you and I have in this life. There's been times, son, I couldn't see the blessing, but thank God there's been pleasure in the Lord being my portion and the root of every blessing. That's what James said and reminded the New Testament child of God. Brother Joe, every good and perfect gift cometh down from above from the Father of lights, in whom is no variableness, neither shadow nor turning. In other words, the Lord is the root and the portion of every blessing you and I receive. You say, "Oh, I've worked hard to have all I have in life." Who gave you your health? who blessed you with strength to be able to go out and labor and sweat. You realize how many people don't have that tonight. I'm telling you, my friend, I believe in working hard. Amen. I think tonight, amen, that lazy people make God sick. But at the end of the day, it is God that blesses us. And were it not for God being our portion, we wouldn't have two pennies to rub together. The Lord is the portion of my blessing. The Lord, it then becomes the portion of my boasting. Notice what he said. He said, thou maintainest my lot. In other words, not only have I, as the Lord, in being my portion, the portion of my blessing and what I've received, but it is the Lord that sustains it and keeps it. And the word maintainest literally means to keep close to. David is saying, the Lord, make sure I don't lose what he's given me. And in that, it's not I that boast, but my boasting is found in the Lord being my portion. It ain't me that has blessed me. It ain't me that maintains that which I've been given. In fact, amen, Job learned that as a reference already. And it's the Lord gives and the Lord that takes away. Blessed be. Amen. The name of the Lord, we can find our boasting on the path of life in the Lord being our portion. Then the Lord is a portion of our boundaries. What did he say? He said the lands. Amen. The markings, the survey that has gone off. Amen. The plans that have been drawn up, the lands are fallen unto me in what? Pleasant places. Amen. Yea, I have a goodly heritage in what? Not in the law, but in the Lord. Boy, that there are some independent, fundamental, temperamental, judgmental. I got them all. Baptists. That Brother Gerald, they, it's like they get pleasure in inflicting the law on people. You know what? I'm glad I learned that it's the Lord I find pleasure in. Walking in the liberty, stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made you free. Freedom tonight in the Lord, the boundaries and the lands of just letting the Lord be your portion. You're in Christ tonight, is that right? You got saved, you're in Christ, you're seated together in heavenly places, in Christ Jesus. What a portion we have in the Lord tonight to find pleasure in. The pleasures of the Lord on the path of life. Pleasure of preservation, the pleasure of the Lord's position, the pleasure of the Lord's people, the pleasure of the Lord's portion. Notice with me, I'm winding down, the pleasure of the Lord's precepts. Verse 7, David said, I will bless the Lord. So what's that mean? In good old Tennessee hillbilly mountain language, that means I'm going to have a blessed fit in the Lord. Amen. I'm going to have a spell is what that means. I'm going to have a spell. I will bless the Lord. Why? Who hath given me what? Counsel. Know what I think David's is saying? David is saying he's the God that has given me counsel. Counsel means to advise, to deliberate, or to resolve. It reveals that the Lord had taught David some things. Ain't you glad on the path of life the Lord knows how to sit you down and say, look here, dear child of God, you need to learn something. Amen. All them years y'all had Doc Wells as your pastor, ain't you glad you could come in and learn something? Ain't you glad for the priesthood, the believer, you can go home in the morning, get your Bible out, and have your private time with the Lord, and God teach you some things from His Word? You know what David is saying? David is saying, I'm going to bless the Lord because He has given me His precepts. And I say tonight, that's a pleasure we have on the path of life. Ain't you glad you ain't no Buddhist tonight? You didn't have to come in here with some Quran, what do they call that thing? Amen, that old Muslim book. Amen, walk in here trying to learn something out of that. Amen, to strap bombs on your body and go blow up heathens. God has taught you something on the path of life. God's taught you the doctrines of grace and the doctrines of mercy, and taught you how much He loves you, and taught you a way of holiness and a way of separation. He's taught you all that you need to know to be able to live a successful life. Amen. From the Lord on the path of life, what pleasure there is from the Lord in His precepts. Amen. It's amazing how many people trying to live the Christian life.
live in the path of life apart from the book and wonder why they're so void of pleasure. Amen. I ain't got time to preach all this. Amen. The counsel David had been given by the Lord affected, watch this, it affected David's reigns. Notice what he said. I will bless the Lord who hath given me counsel, my reins. That's an old English word that means thoughts and meditation. He said, my reins also instruct me in the ninth season. Let's put this all together. What's the pleasure of the Lord on the path of life? In verse 7, what's it have to deal with? It has to deal with the fact that God had taught David something, counseled him from His Word. And now David said, when I get in the night seasons of life, the problems of life, it is my meditation and my thoughts, the things that God has put in my mind and doubt in the recesses of my being and come up in the night seasons, and I had pleasure in the times of problems. And I say tonight, there's pleasure. You say, you just don't understand how bad everything is. Well, evidently you ain't been in the Word of God like you ought to be. Because it's in the night, and I'm not belittling, Brother Dean, not at all belittling. I've been there when I bellyache, whined, and complained and needed somebody to change my diaper. Everybody okay? I've been there, son. I can throw a pity party like nobody's business. Everybody okay? But I'm going to tell you what I've learned. If I let what God taught me when everything was good on the path of life, if I let it, it'll be the meditation that comes up and instructs me all over again on the worst of days. You know what's kept me from running down South Carolina and choking somebody this week? Some of them things God said about loving your enemy, doing good to them that despitefully use you. Amen. You know what? He taught me something, and when things ain't going well, it is the things God has put down in our heart through His precepts we find pleasure in the path of life. Amen. The pleasure of the Lord's precepts. I've got to finish this tonight. Y'all hang with me. The pleasure of the Lord's presence. Verse 8, 9, and 11. David says, I have set the Lord always before me. Notice with me that David here states that the Lord is always before me. But notice with me the phrase, I have set. He states that the Lord is always before me, but notice that he said, I've set him there. In other words, I've allowed him to be by my side. Amen. A lot of times we talk about, well, I got away from the Lord this week. You ain't going to get away from somebody who you always with you everywhere you go. He's always there. You go to a barroom tonight, you just took the Lord in there with you. I'll never leave thee nor forsake thee. Is that right? Well, I've just been away from the Lord. No, He's been there all along. You just haven't let Him be set in the right position to be have His presence real in your life. And so notice that He said, I've set. Amen. This means to level. Watch this now. To level, equalize, or adjust. It pictures a weight that is counterbalancing something that is prone to be out of whack. Kind of like them tires on your car out there. You ever go down and say, hey, my old car, it's vibrating and shaking. They'll say, Dean will say, hey, that's because you need to get them tires balanced. And I mean, you just get beat to death. Don't nobody like riding in a car where the tire's out of balance and going down the road like this right here. But you go in there and they put them little weights on there. But Jerry, they put them weights on there and they'll spin that thing around and they tell them where to place that thing. And they put that same tire back on that same axle and send you out the road and it'd be smooth sailing. You know what just happened? It got counterbalanced. David says, the Lord put some balance in my life. Now watch this. David's a man after God's own heart. But you read the Psalms, David is an emotional basket case. He's one of the most, are y'all listening? David's one of the most unstable men mentally there is in the Bible. These times he's crying out, dear God, there's no help. Everything's caving in. I'm going to die. I'm crying all night long, all day long. All I can do is cry. David said here, if I'll just set the Lord, let His presence be real It takes my unstableness, my instabilities, and it balances it out on the path of life. And things begin to run smooth again when I just let the Lord be there beside my journey, on this journey in this path of life. Notice with me the stability of the Lord's presence. He said, I shall not be moved. That's the stability of His presence. There's pleasure in that. Yep. Amen. Hey, we get times in our life where we get unstable. Shall not me, I'll never waver. Well, pray for the rest of us. There's times I waver. There's times my faith, man, ain't what it ought to be. Them old disciples seen him feed the thousands, raise the dead, open blinded eyes, and then they get in a storm and they're quaking, and the Lord said, hey, oh ye of little faith. You know what the problem was? That they were prone to instabilities. And we're prone to be unstable. You know what? You know what stabilizes the Christian? It ain't all your knowledge. And it sure ain't all our standards. And it sure ain't in where we go to church. It's dwelling in and abiding in the presence of the Lord. The stability of His presence. Notice with me, the joy of the Lord's presence. I have set the Lord always before me. Watch what He said. Because He is at my right hand, I shall not be moved. Therefore my heart is glad. And my glory rejoiceth. He said in verse number 11, in thy what? In thy presence is fullness of joy. And I'm going to make a statement now, and you're just going to have to choke it down. People lacking in joy are people who are not abiding in the presence of the Lord. I didn't say you wouldn't hurt. I didn't say you wouldn't cry. I just said through it all, there'll be a fullness of joy on the inside. Life ain't, listen, I don't care what the charismatics say and the people addicted in the Baptist movement to the glory. These glory rollers always got to have it high, swinging from the light. They act like you're not ever supposed to hurt. But my friend, real Christianity is maintaining fullness of joy through the presence of the Lord through the darkest of situations. There's joy in the presence of the Lord, the stability. But notice the rest. And what did he say there? I think, Brother Jerry, in verse number 9, read that last line. In the verse number 9.
My flesh also shall rest.
My what? My flesh. It's so rotten flesh. It don't feel like having rest. But David said, when I get in the presence of the Lord, there's rest that comes from just being in His presence. Last of all, I'm done. The pleasure of the Lord's promise. This is good. Verse 10. David said, thou wilt not leave my soul in hell. That's a promise. You say, I thought David was a saved man. Well, you got to understand, this is where dispensational truth comes in. Them Old Testament believers, when they died, they went into Abraham's bosom. And in Abraham's bosom, you know the story of Lazarus and the rich man. And they could see each other. One side was in hell in torment. The other side was in Abraham's bosom. They was in the same place in the center of the earth. And I ain't got time to get into all this. You study the Hebrew terms and how these things are translated. It's translated right. King James Bible ain't wrong. Thou shalt not leave my soul in hell. He's saying you're not going to leave me down in that place of Abraham's bosom in the heart of the earth. David said, I've got a promise. I ain't going to be stuck down here. The grave ain't going to have power over me. The path of life, no matter where the path of life ends, when I leave this world, you're not going to leave me. You're not going to forsake me, but you're going to be there, amen, to let me dwell in your presence forevermore. Why? Well, David, thousands of years before the Lord shows up, said, and shall not suffer that. Watch this, capital H, holy, capital O, one. You say, who's that? That's that one David looked on down through there through time and said, yeah, he's a coming. He's going to be born right. He's going to live right. He's going to die right. And he's going to be raised again from the dead.
Amen. You know what he's doing? He's clinging to a promise that hasn't even taken place yet. And said, because your son's going to be raised, you're not going to leave me down here. Hell's going to have no power over me. A grave's going to have to let me go. Amen. The pleasure of the Lord's promise on the path of life. What is the promise? The promise is this. Amen. David had the reality of this promise because of the power of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. Can I say what David was looking forward to and claimed by promise from the Lord, we look back to saying, oh yeah, there's an empty tomb. And because he lives, we're going to live. And the promise is, let not your heart be troubled. Amen. In other words, find pleasure, boys, in the fact that I'm going to prepare a place for you. If I prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself. And where I am, there you may be also. I'm feeling about like preaching right here. Amen. I should have started here, Betty. Amen. What did Paul say? He said, the sufferings of this life. Amen. The sufferings on this path of life are not worthy to be compared to the glory that awaits you and I. Amen. What is that? That is an absolute promise that however bad it gets on the path of life, sure there's pleasure to be had. Thank God there's that ultimate pleasure we have. Amen. Called the blessed hope and glory appeared of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ, who's going to make it all better. Listen to what I'm getting ready to tell you, and I'm done. We pray and we go in the house. There's nothing in your life right now that what the trumpet God would sound and it wouldn't be fixed just like that. Let it sink in. There's not one family problem. There's not one financial problem. There's not one spiritual problem. There's not anything you're faced with tonight is a problem on the path of life that if the trump of God were to sound right now, wouldn't be left behind. Through the promise of the Lord Jesus Christ having got up from the dead, what a pleasure to know. May be bad tonight, but it's going to get better farther on. Father, I love you tonight. I pray, Lord, you would fulfill our request, Lord, to encourage the people of God in their hearts this evening. And Father, I ask you tonight, Lord, as we leave here, may the truth of the Word of God, Lord, be exactly, Lord, what we need. Lord, I know this evening, Lord, there's some here tonight. Lord, they're going through things. And Lord, I don't want to be perceived as preaching down to people. Lord, I know things we go through are real. Lord, we've got to face things sometimes we don't like. And Lord, that at any other time, Lord, we feel, Lord, like just running away sometimes. But Lord, I pray that through it all, we'd find pleasures. Pleasures of the Lord, pleasures in the Lord on the path of life. Help our church, Lord, I pray already for the weekend coming up that you'd bless it. Lord, we pray for the youth meeting, Lord, that's going to be taking place here in just a few weeks. I pray, Lord, they'd be a slew of youngins who get saved by the grace of God. I pray there'd be a bunch of them, Father, that would commit themselves to live their life wholly and wholeheartedly for the Lord Jesus Christ. I pray, Father, you'd bless our church, Lord, as a result of the meeting. And Lord, continue to let the fires of revival burn. And Lord, all that you do, we'll thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen. Alrighty, I hope you've been encouraged tonight in some way. Amen. The truth.